Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bibles and turn it to the book of John, John chapter 2. We're looking at the text from John 2, 13 through 22, where Jesus cleansed the temple. And after he drove those money changers out of the temple, the Jews came to him asking him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" That is John chapter 2 and verse 18. And we'll take up there in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in guiding us through this Bible study, we have chosen to pick up the old Sunday school notes of E.A. Elam, and he wrote these notes for the Sunday schools of August the 17th, 1942. And so in John 2 and verse 18, the Jews ask Jesus, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things?" The Jews meant a sign of authority to cleanse the temple. A sign means a miracle. The Jews at different times requested a sign of Jesus. At different times, the Jews questioned Jesus' authority to teach. And to ask, "How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" means, where did he get the authority to teach? Or by what ecclesiasticism was he sent out to preach? His answer to this question shows this: "My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me." John 7, verses 15 and 16. When Jesus cleansed the temple the second time and taught the people, the chief priests and elders asked him then, by what authority did he do these things? In answer to their quest, Jesus is going to show them a sign. In verse 19, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." On another occasion, when the Jews asked for a sign, Jesus virtually said the same as he did in this verse. Here he said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 12, 39 and 40. Destroying the temple and raising it in 3 days had reference to Jesus' death and resurrection. His resurrection is a supreme proof and the crowning argument that he is the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And so we read in verse 20 that the Jews thought Jesus had reference to the temple in Jerusalem. And they said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? Let's talk about the temples in Jerusalem, particularly 3 temples, Solomon's, Zerubbabel's, and Herod's. The first temple was built in Jerusalem was that of Solomon. He was 7 years in building it, according to 1 Kings 6 and verse 38. This temple was pillaged and profaned by different enemies of the Jews at different times, and was finally destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. After lying in ruins during the Babylonian captivity, the temple was rebuilt by Zerubbabel upon the return of the Jews to their own country. It was inferior in glory to the temple of Solomon. Herod the Great pulled down this temple of Zerubbabel and began the reconstruction of it in 17 B.C., 46 years before the time of this lesson. It was not 46 years before it was fit for service, but many workmen were employed for these years in completing the outbuildings. In fact, I remember reading that Herod did this, took down the old Zerubbabel temple and rebuilt it with his temple in such a way that the services of the temple were never disrupted. All the Jewish writers praise this temple exceedingly for its beauty and the costliness of its workmanship. It was built of white marble, exquisitely wrought, and with stones of large dimensions, some of them 25 cubits long, 8 cubits high, and 12 cubits thick. To these, there is no doubt a reference in Mark chapter 13. Now, that's according to the Bible Dictionary of the American Tract Society. But then we read in John chapter 2 and verse 21 that when Jesus said, 40 and 6 years was this temple, or when the Jews said 40 and 6 years was this temple in building, and with our raise it in 3 days, that Jesus was not speaking of that physical structure. He spake of the temple of his body. The body of Christians is a temple of our Holy Spirit. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Know ye not that ye, this is ye now, that means plural, collectively, together, the church, ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man destroy this temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and such you are. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Destroying the temple of Jesus' body was to kill him. It was a prediction of his death and of his resurrection that the Jews would kill him. Jesus knew the Jews would crucify him and that he would rise up again the third day. The Jews continued in their misunderstanding of it and used it slanderously against him. This was one of the charges brought against him during his trial. Some said, "We have heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Mark 14:58. While he hung on the cross, they said, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself." Matthew 27 and verse 40. In this way, men now pervert the teaching of some and slander others. In like manner, some pervert the gospel, twist the scriptures, and handle the word of God deceitfully. In John chapter 2 and verse 22, we read, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." The disciples of Jesus did not understand the meaning of this declaration at first. It was difficult for them to understand that Jesus would suffer, die, and be raised from the dead. But when Jesus had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he spake this and understood what he meant by it. When John wrote this, Jesus had long been raised from the dead. Hence, he said, his disciples remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They believed what Jesus had said concerning his resurrection and all the scriptures foretelling it. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 27, where it says that Christ, beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. We read also in that same chapter of the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. And he said unto them, "These are my words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the psalms concerning me." Then opened he their mind, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." During the feast of the Passover, which Jesus was attending when he cleansed the temple, many believed on his name, beholding the signs which he did, but knowing what is in a man's heart, his frailties, his weaknesses, and his fickleness, he knew he could not trust himself to any of the Jews. That ends that particular Sunday school lesson, all except this little rhyme that is found at the end. "He liveth long who liveth well. All other life is short and vain. He liveth longest who can tell of living most for heavenly gain." Now I turn the page in our little Sunday school book, and I come to the notes that E.A. Elam had prepared for the Sunday schools of August the 24th, 1924. And this is when Jesus talks with Nicodemus. The lesson text is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And we read, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to him by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the noise thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Art thou the teacher of Israel, and understandest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descendeth out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may have in him eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I've heard this called the greatest text, and that is because God, the greatest person, so loved the world, the greatest love, that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest faith, should not perish, the greatest tragedy, but have eternal life, the greatest reward. Now, all the scriptures are great, but because there's so many great things mentioned in this favorite verse of John 3 and verse 16, it is sometimes called the greatest verse in the Bible, and that makes a pretty good scripture lesson, a pretty good Bible lesson. The great God and the great love and the great gift and the great faith in the great tragedy and the great reward.